answer out loud, but just think about the last time that you felt overwhelming happiness. Overwhelming happiness. Maybe it was the birth of a child. Maybe it was your wedding day. Maybe it was just this time where you finally were able to purchase the house. Maybe it was the day that you opened up your business. You'd been planning it for years and years, and finally you flipped that open sign and you saw your first customers walk through. Some of you might be New York Yankees fans, and so last night you said, man, my Yankees are headed to the World Series. Maybe it was when your team won a Super Bowl. Maybe it was when your team won 2 Super Bowls in a row and is currently the prohibitive favorite for 3 in a row. I'm just spitballing here. Some people feel happy about different things. The challenge with happiness, and you know this, you don't need me to tell you this, the challenge with happiness is it can be so fleeting, right? You open up the business and you'd been planning for it for years, and you'd put all the things and you got the loans and you were happy, no doubt about it. And then maybe things slowed down a little bit. You didn't see the customers coming that you thought you were gonna, and then that happiness kind of wanes. Or you were so happy. Of course, you were so happy on your wedding day. Everything was perfect. You'd planned it and it was all great. And then you get back home and you have that first fight, and it's just, oh, I'm not as happy. Or, you know, the Yankees got to the World Series, but then they lost. Or the Chiefs made it, but they lost. Happiness comes and goes, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing, Ryan, you know this, there's nothing you can do to keep that from happening. The challenge that we face, especially in our society and the way that our culture is, I mean, it's even written in our founding documents that we think everybody ought to be able to pursue happiness. And we spend our lives, a lot of us, pursuing happiness. What is going to give me, and it's really a chemical reaction, it's just dopamine. I don't feel the dopamine, how can I have more of that? I don't feel as happy as I did, and so maybe I need a different job, or I need this, or if we could go on this. And those are all good things. It's just when we make that the center point of our life, boy, it can be exhausting. It can just, I have to have the new thing, and the better thing, and the more expensive thing, and the shiny thing. And the danger that we find ourselves in is, if pursuit of happiness is our main goal in life, we miss out on something that's deeper and more profound and more consistent, and that is the pursuit of what Jesus promised us, is joy. Those two things are oftentimes said interchangeably, but actually they're way more different. Happiness, and again, I want you to be happy. I stand here this morning today happy. I am. I love my job. I love what I get to do. I love my wife. I love our kid. I am today happy. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I might not be happy. You know, maybe I get the flu overnight, and I'm just unhappy, and it's fine. You know, it comes and goes. But what Jesus invited us to is something way better. It's joy. And joy is that settled assurance, and it's that quiet confidence that even if everything isn't okay on the outside, that ultimately I know that God is in control. And I know that ultimately, even if it's not here in this life, on this earth, I know that God is going to work it out in the end. That is the idea of joy. Happiness comes when everything around me externally is going right. Because that's right, I'm happy. And joy comes from inside, I'm okay. I know that ultimately, even though what's happening outside of me isn't great, I know that God is in control ultimately. And you've maybe met people like that. You ever met somebody that on the outside, there's no reason that they should be okay, and yet you look at them and you say there's something about them. Even though they're going through all this struggle and tension and grief and things that I wouldn't want for myself, they seem like they're okay. What is happening? Jesus said it's joy, and that's available. Jesus promised, that's what we're going to find in John chapter 15. That's what the Apostle Paul said when he lists these fruits of the Spirit, that joy can be yours. And it's not an external pursuit, it's an internal, I'm just okay because I'm connected to Jesus. And so that's my hope for you all this morning. I want you to be able to have joy. So either one of two things is true, is that you can have joy despite what else might be going on in your life, good or bad, or Jesus is lying to us. One of those two things. Either Jesus is just making stuff up, or we can have joy. And I just am decided to trust Jesus. And you can talk to people, and you can meet people that there's no reason, And yet they seem to have this joy. And what Jesus is going to show us today, this is kind of if you're watching online, lose power, if you're here and you have to leave or you fall asleep, here's what Jesus is going to promise us, is that Jesus' joy can be our joy. Is it the joy that Jesus has? And you think about Jesus, and I don't know if, when you think about Jesus, what you think about, but Jesus seemed to be full of joy. And Jesus is going to promise that not the joy of external things and your bank account and your job and your career and all. No, Jesus's joy can be our joy. And so what we looked at last week, if you didn't have a chance to be here, we looked at what the Apostle Paul wrote as what's called the fruits of the Spirit. And we say what the world needs now is for Christians, people who are following Jesus, to be mature, to act Christ-like. And maturity comes in the form of letting this fruit that God promises be developed and given in our life. Is that the followers of Jesus, not to just settle for going through religious tradition and not settle, last week we talked about, let's not just settle for spirituality, but let's settle for maturity. Maturity is what Jesus calls us to, that we need, what our world needs now. This is where we ended last week. What our world needs now is followers of Jesus. That's many of us who are pursuing not spiritual practices, but maturity. That we have the same mindset of Jesus, that we have the same priorities of Jesus. And if we would do that, if just the people today that are gathered here and in churches just like ours in Northwest Kansas, can you imagine the difference? Can you imagine the difference? If all of us just decided to go into our week submitting to the work of God in our life, imagine how our world would be different. Because Christ-likeness and maturity, it sounds like and it acts like and it looks like what the Apostle Paul said, and you've even if you're not a church person, you've heard of these things. What the Apostle Paul said that looks like is the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you have a Bible, you can flip here for a second. We're not going to spend very much time here. Just to give it to you for a second, Galatians chapter 5 is where those are listed in case you just want to have it. And I have it underlined in my Bible. I love a printed Bible. This is just a me thing. I love a printed Bible because I can hold it like this and I don't have to worry about the glass breaking when I inevitably drop it. And I can underline and I can highlight and I can scribble and I can write notes. And hopefully one day I'm going to give this to one of my sons or daughters and they're going to see all my scriptures. I got one of my dad's Bibles. It's one of the greatest things in my life. I love it. Anyway, has nothing to do, but I've got rollover minutes today, guys, and so we're just here, and I can say whatever I want. It's just a great day. But Galatians chapter 5, we didn't look at this last week, but after the Apostle Paul wrote these fruits of the Spirit, he later on in verse number 25, he says this, if we live by the Spirit, well, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. That what the Apostle Paul is saying is that you have been given life by the Spirit. And you say, well, I don't know, have I? Here's the question, as if you have the Spirit of God inside of you. The Spirit of God comes as a result of your salvation. So you are, if you are a Christian, if you are following Jesus, you have the Spirit of God. That there is no life of Christ inside you without the Spirit of God. And so that's a given. If you are a follower of Jesus, not if you've been, you know, a church attender, that doesn't have anything to do with it, not all these other things, but if you are following Jesus and a disciple of Jesus, you have the Spirit of God. And so if we are there, he's saying, if we live by the Spirit, we have our life by the Spirit, well, let's keep in step. It's the idea of follow the leader as you were in kids. What did you do as follow the leader? You just kept in step. You just, what did they do? When they slowed down, I slowed down. When they sped up, I sped up. When they moved this way, I moved that way. And so the Apostle Paul saying, mature followers of Jesus, they keep in step with the Spirit. And by keeping in step with the Spirit, you start to develop fruit. You start to become different, not because you tried harder, but just who you are connected to. And so the Apostle Paul is inviting us, hey, pay attention. Pay attention to those promptings. Pay attention to those nudges. Pay attention to those leadings. And then I submit to those as you're going into your work tomorrow. You say, God, I want to submit to you. I want to pay attention to your nudges. And then you're in that meeting and you hear the gossip and you want to kind of get yourself involved in the gossip because you hear the juicy thing. And yeah, I want to include myself in this. And then all of a sudden, there's that little thing in your head. Is that, no, don't do that. That's not God's best for you. And then you have a choice. Either I pay attention to that nudging and I pull away, or I ignore the nudging and I lean in. And when I pay attention, I start to develop fruit because I'm maturing, because I'm becoming more Christ-like. The fruit of the Spirit, go up a couple verses. The fruit of the Spirit, what are they? Verse number 22, love, joy. That's what we're gonna talk about today. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In this series, we're gonna take them one at a time. We're gonna look at all of them. There's no law against these things. In other words, the things that you want in your life anyway, I mean, all of us would look at that list and say, I could use some of that. I mean, how many of us can't use some more patience? How many of us, next week we're gonna talk about peace. How many of us could use some more peace in our life? And the challenge that we have as a culture is we say, I've got to pursue something externally so that I can feel better internally. And what the Apostle Paul is saying and what Jesus is going to say in John chapter 15 is the fruit that we so desperately want is a result, not an activity. It's not that I finally achieved something out there, is that I've arrived to a submission place internally, that I'm paying attention to the nudges, I'm paying attention to the direction, I'm keeping in step, and it's in the keeping in step with the Spirit that I look back and I say, wow, I'm different. I'm not who I used to be. That it's something that is developed as a result of me being connected to God. And there's been, I would bet for you, there's probably been moments of your life where you felt some of those things. There's probably been some moments of your life where you would say, I feel joyful. There's probably been some moments of your life where you say, I think I felt at peace. I've had some patience in my life. But if you're anything like me, sometimes those can be fleeting. Sometimes I have it and then it's so easily gone. And what Paul is saying, what Jesus is gonna say, that can be our constant. We can live in the result of the fruit of the Spirit by just simply keeping step. And so what we're gonna look at today, if you have a Bible, if you wanna follow along, we're gonna look at John chapter 15. And John chapter 15, we're kind of jumping into the middle of a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. Right after this, Jesus is gonna be arrested. He's going to be brutally tortured. Imagine things that we can't even fathom. We can't comprehend it. And he's going to be crucified. That's going to happen directly after this conversation. But Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's spent three and a half years with them. They've seen things that we can't even imagine. They've heard things that we'll never hear. It's just an amazing, amazing 3.5 years. And Jesus is kind of giving them these final instructions because Jesus knows what's getting ready to happen. Jesus knows that this is it. And his whole life has been pointed like an arrow towards this moment and this night. And so Jesus gathers these disciples and he starts to give them these last instructions. He wants them to be grounded in this because he knows you are gonna be in such chaos in the next coming hours and days. I wanna give you some things that can anchor you. And Jesus knows that after he leaves this earth, that chaos and frustration and all this craziness is gonna happen as a result of them following him. And he wants them to be anchored. And I think Jesus wants that for you as well. Because he knows that your life is chaotic sometimes. And he knows that sometimes the pursuit of happiness is impossible. I can't be happy because I've got this. And there's no way for me to be happy because my job is like this or my marriage is falling apart. I can't be happy. Jesus is anchoring him. You can still have joy. It's still possible. So John chapter 15, we're jumping in again to the middle of a conversation. But Jesus is gonna say, you're gonna see it about a dozen times. You're gonna see this one extraordinary word as just this word remain. Just this idea of, I just want you to be connected. It's not spiritual activity. It's an internal posture. Verse number 4 is where we're jumping in. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Jesus is saying what's so obvious to everybody. That if you have a storm blow through your yard and you've got a beautiful apple tree and the storm breaks off one of the branches of that apple tree, it's so patently obvious to everybody that branch will never produce another apple in its life. We all know that. That nobody's like, huh, I didn't realize that. And Jesus is saying, as patently obvious as that is in nature, That's as obvious as it should be in our life with the fruit of the Spirit. That if you are not remaining in the giver of life, if you're not remaining in Jesus, the idea that you can have joy is as impossible as it is for that branch that's broken to produce apples for you. It's not gonna happen. And it doesn't matter how often you come to church, it's not gonna happen. It doesn't matter how often you try to go through these spiritual practices, it's not going to happen. You've got to be connected to the giver of life. And Jesus, as obvious as that is in nature, that should be as obvious as it is in our spiritual life. He continues in verse number 5. He doesn't want anybody to be confused. I'm the one that's the vine. The one that gives life, that's me. You are the branches, the one who remains in me. What's my decision? I just want to remain. The one who remains in me and I in him, what do? They produce much fruit. Why? Because I remained. Why do I suddenly see joy in my life? I remained. Why am I at peace when I'm surrounded by chaos? I've remained. I've just been where Jesus is. I've listened to those nudgings. I've submitted my life to him. I have decided when Jesus is leading me and calling me to a certain area, I'm gonna keep in step with the Spirit because I can't get that fruit on my own. He goes on and he says, you can do nothing without me. That on my own, I mean, I can get up on stage and I can put on a microphone and I can read the verses, but I on my own cannot produce fruit. It's impossible because I'm not the vine. I'm not the one that authors that. I'm just the recipient of it. And so if I make the point of my life the pursuit of joy, boy, I'm gonna be so frustrated. But if I can turn my attention instead, I wanna pursue Jesus. I want to remain in him. I want to pay attention to those nudgings and to those inklings and to those promptings and submit myself to him. I look back and it doesn't happen. You're not going to see it tomorrow if you start today, the same way that you wouldn't see fruit in your garden when you planted it tonight and look at it tomorrow. It doesn't look like it's doing anything. But as I do that over time in weeks and months, I start to look back at my life and I say, wow, something is different. Something changed. The things that used to throw me so off track, the thing that threw me, I mean, just spun me out of control and threw me into such chaos. Now I realize I don't think I'm going into that place anymore. I feel like I'm more secure. Why? Well, I just remained. Some of you, let me give you an example of remaining. How many of you, you can give a show of hands, or maybe you'll want to lift up the neighbor's hands if you want. Most married people marry the opposite of them. How many people are a homebody? Where's my homebodies at? How many people are like me that are two hands worth of homebody? You know, I just love home. People invite me out to things. Hey, do you want to go out and do this, and we'll go to dinner, and then we'll do this? And I think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. Why? I just want to remain. I want to remain at home. There's nothing outside of my home that I need. I am so content. What do I have at home? I've got my own snacks. I love a snack. And in my house, we've got an entire cabinet dedicated to snacks. And they're available at any time. I don't have to ask somebody, you know, where's the snacks at? Or I don't have to pay. They're available. You know what else I have in my house? I've got big screen TVs at my house. I don't need to go to the theater and sit on a weirdly sticky floor, and see. I've got it at my house. It's going to be coming to streaming very soon. You know what else I got at my house? I got a blanket. I love a blanket. You know, I don't have to, I can be in my sweats, I can be in my Chiefs hoodie, I can just have that blanket, and I just, what a gift. I don't have to leave my house to be content. Now, in my life, sometimes I'm tempted. You know what I need in order to have joy? It's out there. I need to have this, and I better buy the thing, and then I need to do this, and I need to have this experience, and I better have this, and it's all outside, outside, outside. And I can have it for a minute, but at the end, boy, it seems just a little disappointing. Doesn't seem like it holds up to its end of the bargain. And so then I get convinced, I see a commercial, or I hear somebody else talk, and I see this advertisement. No, what you really need is this, it's outside. And so then I pursue that, and no, what you really need is a newer. Okay, I'll pursue that. And it's just so frustrating, it's exhausting. And Jesus is saying, yeah, you don't need it. All that outside stuff, I've got everything that you need. You need love? Remain. You need some joy? Remain. Quit chasing it. Find yourself at home in Jesus. Everything that you need, everything that he has available is not an external pursuit. It's just, I'm remaining in him. Verse number 6, he goes on and he says this. Where we find it. If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown aside like branches and he withers. He can't do it on his own. They gather them, they throw them into the fire, they're burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, and then this is an extraordinary statement, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. And people have made this verse into something it's not. They've made this verse to sound like God's this genie in a bottle, and if I just ask him, then he's supposed to do these things. That's not what he's talking about. What Jesus is saying is that when you remain, your desires are gonna be my desires. And the things that you want are gonna start to change. And so you are gonna line up more closely with what your prayers are gonna start to line up more closely with prayers that I already want to answer. And so by remaining, I start to have the mind of Christ and I start to see things the way that Christ sees them. And so my prayer life begins to change. It's not a me-focused prayer life. And can you give me this? And how about this? And I really need this. Why can I get anything that I want when I am remaining? Is because my wants change. It's not a me-focused faith. It's, man, I have joy, I have peace, I have love, I have self-control, I have all these things. And so my prayer life begins to change. And then verse 8, he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that if you will start to live by the Spirit, and if you'll start to submit to the work of the Spirit in your life, that fruit is gonna be produced in you, and then other people will start to look at you and they'll say, wow, there's something different about them. Why is their life seem to be so settled and so at peace, and why do they have joy in the middle of chaos? That there's something inside. And then Jesus said, they'll see God must be alive in their life. There must be some work of God happening. And they don't say, boy, you're doing a great job. They glorify their Father in heaven. Wow, there must be something going on below the surface. So here's the question. How do we do that? How do we remain? How do I just let myself be settled in and let my fruit be developed in my life because of what God has done through me? There's three things, and there's more than this, but let me just give you three things that everybody could do this week. You could do these things. It's a submission to, it's a resting in, and it's a focusing on. Submission to just simply sounds like this: your will above my will. Your will above my will. Your ways instead of my ways. Your priorities instead of my priorities. That every day I submit to God's authority in my life. Every day I'm willing to say, God, if you don't want me to, then I won't. Every day I'm willing to say, God, if you want me to, the answer is yes. You wake up every morning and it's really kind of scary to start to pray. God, the answer is yes. What's the question? Just write in a blank check. That's how you start to remain. Resting. You put the full weight of your life onto God. Resting. Resting is, I don't need things outside. I don't have to exhaust myself in the pursuit of more or in the pursuit of different. That I can just put the full weight of my life and the full weight of my future and the full weight of all the different things that I'm so concerned with, I'm just resting. And I bet God knows. I bet God understands. I bet God is able to work this out for me. And so I am just resting. I'm not gonna churn. I'm not gonna strive. I bet God's in control. I bet God already knows. And then it's a focusing. That I spend time. Listen, if you haven't spent time with God since last Sunday at 10:15, or if you weren't here last week, 2 weeks ago, or whatever that looked for you, Listen, there's no condemnation there, but you just, it's not possible for you to produce fruit. It's just not. Because we're here for an hour. And you've got other things going on in your life, and you've got other things happening in your world, and you've got other things that you had to focus on. And so one little hour-long time, once a week, twice a month, whatever that looks like for you, it's not enough to let God produce that fruit in your life that I focus on. I'm spending time with Jesus. I'm learning how to recognize his voice. I'm spending and carving out time. I just want to be with him. I think it was Tim Keller that said, I couldn't exactly track down the quote, but I'm sure, pretty sure it was Tim Keller, and I love this. The fruit of the Spirit are the communicable and transmittable attributes of God. You catch them through close proximity. How do you develop joy in your life? You've got to get close to Jesus. How do you get some peace? We're going to talk about it next week. You just remain in him. You have something that I need that I can't get to on my own. And so I'm just going to submit to you. I'm going to rest in you. And I'm going to focus on you. If I can get close to you, I'm going to have the things that I so desperately, desperately want. Couldn't you use some more joy in your life? Unless Jesus was lying, he says it's possible. You can live a life. I can live a life marked by extraordinary joy. How do I do it? I submit. I rest. And I focus. And all of a sudden, what happens? Little bits of joy starts to perk up in my life. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary thing. You've met people that are like that. You've seen people that there's no reason in the world that they should be joyful. And yet they are. Why? They've remained. They've submitted to. They've rested in. They've focused on. So Jesus continues and he says this, verse number 9, as the Father has loved me, this is an important part, I have also loved you. So that's the starting point, that you need to know that you are loved by God. That's so important. Don't go anywhere else. Why do I submit to God? Because I'm loved by him. Why can I rest in God even when I don't understand why he's telling me to go in this way? I'm loved by God. Why do I focus on him? I'm loved by God. Don't get it twisted. Don't start the opposite. Say, hey, I've got to do all these things so that God will love me. No, you sit loved by God. And because I'm loved by God, I know that his ways are better. And so I can remain at rest submitting to his ways because the starting point was he loves me. If you keep my commands, he says remain in that. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And now the temptation is to get that backwards. The temptation is to say, I've got to try really, really hard, and if I do my best, and if I really do good, then God will love me, and God will do the things that I need him to do. That's not what Jesus is saying. He is saying, you're loved. You're loved. Yeah, but what if I don't? You're loved. Yeah, but what? No, you're loved. And because you are loved, you have a Father who knows more and sees further and can see what you can't see, and so he says, Submit to the one who loves you and who cares about you, who has a plan for your life, and just be willing to say, even when I don't see it, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit. So I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to rest in. God, I bet you have this under control. I don't understand how it's going to work out. I feel myself churning. I feel myself striving. I feel like my peace is slipping away. I feel like my joy is slipping away, but I'm just going to choose. I'm just resting. God, you have it under control, and I'm going to focus. I'm going to spend some time with you. To trust in Jesus' love is to trust that his commands are best. I don't have to chase things. I can just be a homebody. I've got everything that I need. I don't have to be on the run looking to be filled. I mean, how many of us has wasted seasons of our life? Anybody like me? Wasted seasons of your life, wasted opportunities in pursuit of something out there, and you finally got a hold of whatever it was that you so desperately wanted, and maybe for a little bit, yes, I'm happy. And then it faded away. Why? We weren't remaining. We fell into the temptation that out there is better, that out there has something better than what God has for you here. And we've all, I mean, all of us, myself, is I'm at the front of the line. I get caught up. I'm a sucker for a good marketing campaign. A good marketing campaign will take me for a ride. Oh, you know what? I'm feeling a little unhappy. I'm feeling a little glum. I feel like I need a dopamine hit. You know what I need is that. And I'll run it and go grab it. And I'm pretty happy for a second. And then, boy, it's kind of a waste. Didn't really live up to its promises. Jesus said, you don't have to fool with that. Just remain. Just remain. And then listen to what Jesus says. Verse number 11. Jesus, why are you telling all these things? I've told you all these things about remaining, about producing in fruit. I've told you all these things so that my joy may be in you. Not the joy that you create. The joy that Jesus has. That he has joy that he wants to give you. That my joy may be in you. And that your joy, what a gift, that your joy may be complete. That you can have joy that is consistent, that is not marked by the changing of circumstances and things coming up and things going down. That you can have joy that is simply dedicated to I remain in Jesus. Joy that is full and joy that is mature. Joy that's not swayed by the changing of times or what's happening in my life or not happening. Joy that is the settled assurance that ultimately God is in control of all of the details in my life. I live with joy because of who Jesus is. And then Jesus finished. Remember where he said a couple verses ago, hey, keep my commands, keep my commands, keep my commands. You remember that? It was in verse number 10, if you want to look back on it again. He says, okay, let me just make it all clear. This is my command. Now, depending on if you've ever read these verses or not before, or depending on your church experience or not, or what type of things you grew up in, you would maybe fill in this blank differently. That you might say, oh, okay, here it is. Here's the list. Got it. Okay, here I got to jump through some hoops. Lots of boxes we got to check off. Here's my command. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, well, I've tried. I'm not very good at it. Here's my command. You got to show up to do this, and you got to pray this three times a day, and you got to do this. Give me the list. Fine. But Jesus kind of, and I think his disciples were right there with us. Okay, I get it. These were Jewish kids, right? They had 600 and some odd commands. I mean, the list of laws were a mile long. And so I think they're all thinking, all right, here we go. I got to do these things that I can't do on my own anyway. And Jesus kind of pulls a fast one. He says this, love one another. Wait a minute, wait, what? What about the Ten Commandments? I love one another. How do I remain in Jesus? Well, I just am settled. I submit, I focus, I rest. Here's my command, love one another. Well, that seems like what about the list? It'd be easier, right? Can I just have a list of things to do? It would just be way easier if you could just tell me, okay, you've got to show up. You got 52 Sundays a year. You've got to show up for 48 of them. That's the command. All right, fine. I'll check that off the list. I can do that. But to love one another, because people are the worst. You know, they're just hard to get along with sometimes. It's easy to love some people, but other people, it's just hard. Love one another as I have loved you. It's very similar. It's very similar to how Jesus said it in Matthew. It's not on the screen. You won't see it. But this is what Jesus said when people ask him, what's the greatest commandment? He said this in Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know what that sounds a lot like? Sounds a lot like remaining. This is the greatest and the most important thing. The second is like it. You can't do one without the other. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then verse number 40, if you can look it up for yourself in case I'm lying to you. Verse number 40 of Matthew 22. All the law and the prophets. So everything, the Ten Commandments, all the laws, all the thou shalls and the thou shalt nots, everything depend on these two commandments. How do I remain? How do I get fruit? How do I have joy? Well, according to Jesus, I remain in him and I submit to him and I trust in him and I rest in him and I focus on him. And then that remaining is spread to the people around me, that I love people and Jesus' love is pouring out through me. According to Jesus, according to Jesus, not me, because who cares what I say, but according to Jesus, living with consistent joy is possible. That I remain connected to him, I submit to him, I rest in his promises, I remain focused on him, and then I allow that to overflow in how I love and interact and serve others. Now, I gotta finish. I gotta polish it off for the day. I learned this as a child. This is a little Sunday school thing. It's so cheesy, and so just know that ahead of time. I know that it's cheesy, but I learned it as a child in Sunday school, and it's stuck with me ever since. And yes, it's cheesy, but yes, you're gonna remember it. How do we spell joy? How do we spell joy? Well, in Sunday school, I learned that we spell joy Jesus, others, and you. That I rest in Jesus, that I love others, and then that impacts my life. Jesus, others, and you. I submit to, I rest in, I focus on, I love the other people that are in my life, even though sometimes they are unlovable, and I'm letting God's work in me overflow to the people in my life, and then I produce something. The problem is that a lot of times we don't live that way. We live not joy, but yaj. I don't know how you would say it exactly, but what's in it for me? I gotta focus on me. How am I gonna be okay? What's gonna make me happy? And it's me, and I'll pursue, and I'll go after this, and this relationship isn't working, so let me find a different relationship, and this job isn't doing it, so let me find something else, and let me get a newer, and a shinier, and a brighter, and a fat, whatever, me. And then if I have anything left over for others, then I'll do that, and then I'm really feeling spiritual and have anything left over, I'll add a little Jesus into my life. It's like a little sprinkling, just a little seasoning of Jesus in my life. And then we wonder, boy, why does my life seem so empty? Why do I have all the things that I thought I wanted and I'm not content and I'm not at rest? I feel like I'm striving, that I made that the pursuit of my life, but I feel so empty. Well, because when I'm laser focused on me, I oftentimes use other people as a means to an end. I'm focused on me. I say, well, if I have to step over you to get where I want to be, then I will. It's fine. And then, boy, it's just empty, right? Yoj, it works for a while. We've all tried it. But it's external in. And what Jesus promised is that we can have internal out. That outside joy, boy, it's fleeting. It's fleeting. It'll be here today and gone tomorrow. We all have had moments where everything seems lined up. My life is working. It's great. And I want that for you. Today, I stand in front of you today with outside joy. I'm happy. It's working. Life is okay. It's great. I know that that's not the way it's always going to be. I get that. And so what Jesus promised is inside out joy is not fleeting. It's fulfilling. It's a feeling that I submit to this week. I rest in. I bet God's way is better. And I focus on. I focus on that his love for me is unshakable. That my current circumstances are not evidence of his lack of activity in my life. That he knows more than I know and sees further than I can see. And he can see around the corner that I can't see. And so I'm just going to submit to him. I'm going to submit to him. And what happens? What happens? I start to, if Jesus is telling the truth, I start to produce fruit. I start to produce joy. I can't make anything grow, but I can set the environment. I can't do it on my own because I'm just the branch, but I can make sure that I'm connected. I can make sure that I'm submitting to, I can make sure that I'm focused on, and I can make sure that I'm resting in. I can keep cultivating, I can keep watering, and eventually, fruit is produced. Now this is, so, I don't want you to get confused, that if you have never done this before, you're almost certainly not gonna wake up tomorrow and see all this fruit in your life. Sometimes I see it pretty regularly. People will, they'll kind of screw up their life and things will go bad and so they'll try church for a while. And when things don't work out in about 2 or 3 weeks, they're out. Nah, it's not working. It's not how life works. Not how life works. I've got to remain. I've got to stay connected. And I'm just telling you, just wait for a little bit. Keep submitting, keep resting, keep focusing, and just see if God doesn't start to do something in your life. See if by submitting to him, something in your life over the course of time doesn't begin to change. See if you don't spin out of control less. See if you don't have more joy in your life. It's available. It's a promise. And I want so much for it. Abide in Jesus. Get close to him. Spend time with him and see what he might do in your life. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I'm asking that your joy would be our joy. Lord, we're so busy. We have so many things going on in our life. But Lord, I pray that as we go into this week, that we would carve out time to focus on you. You are the one that can produce the fruit that we need so desperately in our life. We've tried all the ways that we know how to try, and it hadn't worked. It hasn't been sustainable. And so this week, would we submit to you? This week, we want to have our ears open to what you're saying. We want to be listening for your voice when we go into the meetings, when we go into our workday, when we're sitting there with our family, wherever you want to lead us, Lord, help us to submit to you. Help us to rest in you. Help us not to strive that I have to get something outside, but I can rest in you. And help us to carve out that time to focus. Lord, we want your joy to be evident in our life. So help us to remain in you. Thank you for your promise that can be available to us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.